and the word ends in a vowel. 412-200-5975. Good luck. I meant to tell you before the song won a horsepower, I was so busy equating it to watts that you heard Trout Fishing in America and 18 wheels on a big rig. Momentarily, we'll have the answer to today's scrambled word puzzle. Actually, we had two today. Did you figure it out? Word starts with R and ends in I. Trio gain, G-A-I-N. Those are the letters that you have to work with. So far, Stu is the only one to have gotten the correct answer. Pretty guitar work, isn't it? Bruce Emery, along with David McKnight. Beth in Emlinton just got the correct answer. Thank you, Beth. And the word we were looking for? Rigatoni. Rigatoni. A Saturday Light Brigade charge to you, Jim, in Crafton Heights also knew the correct answer. And here is the song we've gotten a lot of requests for.
I got too much stuff. I've got way more shoes than it's possible to use. I got too much stuff. I've got a myriad of devices and way too many vices. I've got no recollection of ever starting this collection. And I guess my innate curiosity combined with sheer fastidiosity reached escape velocity, determining my ultimate direction. Upon reflection, I can't ignore my obvious predilection for too much stuff. I've got multiple containers full of colanders and strainers. I got too much stuff. I've got various vessels filled with mortars and pestles. It's a real mess, I'll tell you. I probably started as a child collecting bottle caps and stands, gradually over time grew to keyboards, guitars, and amps. I never saw myself as a hoarder with an order disorder, but after the court order, I concluded I was clearly on the border. I got too much stuff. I admit it's almost comical. It's certainly not economical. I got too much stuff. Once tried to keep a chronicle, storage fees alone were astronomical. My friend said it's a symptom, some deep-seated neurosis. So I went to a shrink for a professional psych diagnosis. I said to him, Doc, give it to me straight. What's my likely prognosis? He scheduled me for 52 weeks of hypnosis. I got too much stuff. My basement is cluttered with things best left unuttered. I got too much stuff. I recommend you avoid the attic, especially if you're asthmatic. Now, some may be somewhat skeptical, but everything's collectible. Pardon my inelegance, I don't mean to impugn your intelligence. Stop by one afternoon, you'll see my entire bedroom is strewn with autographed production stills from a Bugs Bunny cartoon, plus my prize signed photograph of Reese Witherspoon and the actual raccoon cap worn by Daniel Boone, or maybe Davy Crockett, plus this gold-plated locket I keep in my pocket along with this watch. Keeps really good time, so don't knock it. I got too much stuff. My house is a mess. It's really quite stressful. I got too much stuff. I tried to create order, but I've been unsuccessful. I got tchotchkes and doodads and trinkets and knickknacks, plus the world's largest collection of fruit-flavored Tic Tacs, novelties and mementos and assorted paraphernalia, plus a stuffed duck-billed platypus all the way from Australia. I got too much stuff. I got too much stuff. To the brim with packages of Slim Jims. I got too much stuff. I'm stacked to the rafters with glasses from LensCrafters. I try not to grumble, but my life's an absolute jumble. I take one step in any direction and I stumble. I need to minimize and reorganize, downsize and revise, and optimize and prioritize everything that implies. I got too much stuff. I've got 62 cases of marshmallow fluff. I got too much stuff. And believe me, that's way, way more than enough. I'm stuffed to the gills with hammers and drills and posters and pamphlets and flyers and handbills. I can't help it. Categorize, classify, and collate by color and size, by texture and weight. I pray for recovery, but it's probably too late. I got too much stuff.
That's Dean Friedman, the album American Lullaby, the song title. I think you can guess, Too Much Stuff. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, RadioPhoenix.org, WMCK.FM, McKeesport, Loudspeaker.FM, Fort Collins, Colorado, the Audio Now Network, where you can listen by phone at area code 515-605-9542, and SLBRadio.org.
A pitch, pull the rock for Renz. 31 strikeouts, couple of wins. Matt Helms with the first five on inning. Doubleheader on a Saturday. Shriners, veterans don't have to pay. Game is tight, but the young man's feelings. And they're rolling like the Texas fireball. Rolling like old Adamy for the ball. Jack and Dewey up that hill and all.
Graduated with a 3.8. New librarian is working out great, but the Dewey Decimal System gets to be a bore. She likes dancing with a boy that agrees. Charleston, Lindy, whatever she pleases. Take your troubles and leave them out on the floor.
Rolling like the Texas fireball. Rolling like old Adamy for the ball. Jack and Dewey up that hill and all. Rolling like the Texas fireball. Jumping at the chicken shack, two of them dancing way in the back. Jones jumped to the beat of Tom Tom Dog. Crowd shuffling across the floor. Fans stopped playing, but they wanted some more. Rock around the clock until the morning gone. When they rolling like the Texas fireball. Rolling like old Adamy before the fall. Jack and Dewey up that hill and all. Rolling like the Texas fireball. Rolling like the Texas fireball. Jack and Dewey up that hill and all. Rolling like the Texas fireball. Rolling like the Texas fireball.
That's Chris Castino and Chicken Wire Empire from their album Fresh Pickles. Well, here's hoping you are in the mood to hear some youth music and discussion. It's our Youth Expression Showcase Hour. And today we are going to start with some pianists who, at the time of their performance, were between the ages of 7 and 13. They'll all introduce themselves. This was originally broadcast live on February 4th, 2017, featuring pianists from the Center for Young Musicians. beautifully done. Come on over and have a seat as we get our next pair ready to go. I'd like to talk with each of you and lots of pianists and everybody's juggling around here. And let me start with Abby, since she got in front of a microphone first. Abby, tell me the name of what you just played.
I just played Prairie Stomp.
And I think you've got a friend who wants to say hello to you. Let's see who it is. Who's this?
Sarah Grand.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. You're on the radio. How old are you, Sarah?
I'm 11.
And do you play piano, too?
No, I play the guitar.
Well, it would be nice to have you come and play sometime. How did Abby sound?
She sounded really good.
Well, that's great. Do you know who she played with? His name is Bob. Have you met him?
No, I know who he is, though.
Well, here he is. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
And how long have you been playing piano?
4 or 5 years, I think.
Well, you guys sounded good. Have you played together before?
We've played together every year. We've done duets, basically.
Well, that's good. You two sound very good. Any shout-outs at all either of you would like to give?
I'm going to shout out to my brother and wish him good luck on his karate tournament today.
What's your brother's name?
Will.
And how about for you, Bob? Anybody to say hello to?
I'm going to say hello to my brother, Coley, and my dad. They're at home right now.
And Sarah, as long as you're here, do you have any shout-outs you'd like to give?
No, not really.
Okay, you just gave one. Thank you very much. Now we have Sammy, Alyssa, and Yazan. Are you two siblings? I thought so. Alyssa, and they're both from Franklin Park. They go to Winchester Thurston. We'll talk with them in a moment. But first, here's their duet. Beautifully done. We are going to say hello to these two now as we get ready for Jane and Lakshmi, who are going to be playing next, and then we will have one more duet after that. Let me talk to these two boys here. Put your headphones on so we can hear each other. So we have Sammy, who is the younger brother of Yazan. Let me start with Yazan. Tell me, how old are you, and what did you just play?
I am 9 years old, and I just played minuet in G.
And do you enjoy playing with your brother together?
Yes.
It's got to be fun to play together. Sammy, how long have you played piano?
For about 2 years,
about
I'd say.
About 2 years? How old are you?
7.
Well, I'm glad the two of you are here together. Do you have any shout-outs or hellos that you would like to say to anybody?
No.
None of you either? Well, thank you. It's nice. Do you like being able to play with your brother?
Yes.
Do you two play alone sometimes, too?
Yes.
I would think, probably. Well, it's nice to meet you, and thank you for being here. Next, we have Lakshmi from Swickley Academy, and also Jane. It's Lakshmi Mulgand and Jane Minor. Lakshmi's from Swickley. Jane lives in Adams Township, and here they go.
Thank you.
That was really pretty grand and beautiful. Come on over and sit down and say hello. And before we go too much further, I'd like you to make sure you sit down and put your headphones on, because we have a couple calls that we're going to share, but I want to start. We want to start with this call, I believe. Is this somebody who knows Lakshmi?
Yes, I'm calling for Lakshmi. I'm her aunt.
And where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey.
So you're listening in New Jersey. Do you want to say hello to your aunt, Lakshmi?
Hi.
And what's your aunt's name here?
Her name is Bugga.
Well, it's nice that she's here listening to you. What did you just play?
I've just played Blizzard.
Well, the two of you sounded terrific together. Tell me about yourself. How old are you?
I'm 12. I go to Swickley Academy. I don't know what else to say.
Well, that sounds perfect. I'm going to thank your aunt for calling. Is there anything else that you wanted to say to Lakshmi?
Yes. We loved listening to her. Her uncle and her two cousins are listening in as well. And we are very proud of her.
Excellent. Your mom, thank you for calling. Your mom also mentioned that she's listening from San Francisco today. And that's nice that she said that. And let me make sure, I don't think I missed any. Oh, yes, Mom and Dad in Sydney wrote to the two of you. Do you know who that is, Jane? Get that mic in front of you. Is that's your mom and dad?
Yeah, and my sister.
And your sister, Sydney. I'm glad that they called. And also Oma and Pap, Jane, wrote to say how much they enjoy hearing you play the piano. And we also have a message here. Who knows a Mary Ann and Uncle Brent?
Also me.
You've got all these people that know who you are. How old are you?
I'm 11, almost 12.
Well, it's very nice to talk to you. And I think I have all your messages. Actually, is Abby? Where's Abby? Oh, Abby, there's another message for you, but we'll talk with that person when you can hear them, since you're not going to be able to hear them right now. So Abby's making a return. She played with Bob earlier today, and Abby is now going to play with Clara, and we'll talk with them in just a moment. Here they are. I think that song was called Minnesota Morning, because I was looking at the music and I could even hear that pattern, Minnesota Morning, as they were playing. And we spoke with Abby a little bit earlier, and Abby had another – oh, Abby's grandfather called to say hello. And there's also another caller for Lakshmi. As you're putting your headphones on, let me see. Who's this? Hello.
Hi, this is Aisha, Lakshmi's cousin.
Oh, well, how nice that you're calling too. Lakshmi, do you want to say a quick hello back?
Hi.
Hi, Lakshmi. And, I just called to say you did a great job. We all listened. Me, Chandru, Rishi, and Ranjini Parima, and Shankar Paripa.
Thank you.
And I mentioned before Uncle Brent and Aunt Mary Ann, but I did not mention Justin and Juliet, who are with them, too. They just wrote to add those two names. And now let's meet Claire, who we haven't had a chance – or Clara, I'm sorry, who we haven't had a chance to meet yet. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
What grade are you in, and where do you go to school?
I'm in fourth grade, and I go to school at Providence Heights Alpha School.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. Have you been playing piano for a long time?
Yeah, I've played since I was 4 or 5 years old.
That's an awfully long time to be playing. The Center for Young Musicians, all featuring these talented folks today, give yourselves a round of applause. You guys did a great job today. And thanks to Simi Tripathi, their teacher. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Youth Express here on a chilly January morning, our Youth Expression Showcase. We will have live music in our studios, live. With Julianne Wright coming up in about 45 minutes in our 11 o'clock hour. Continuing with our Youth Express segments, though, coming up, we have some sixth graders from the Ellis School. They are all going to introduce themselves. They were in sixth grade back on March 11th, 2017. When they visited our studios. So they should all be juniors at this point in time. I think I've done my math correctly. They're heading into the second semester of their junior year. They'll talk about environmental issues. And then we'll also have a segment this morning with youth and their experiences with Community Kitchen. All here on today's Saturday Light Brigade. Surrounded by intelligence and youth and interesting ideas, the Fairchild Challenge is an activity that occurs nationally. A challenge is issued every month for teens to respond to. And locally, it's coordinated by Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens. We'll talk about the challenge this month and the response to that challenge. But first, let's have you meet the folks that are here in the studio with me, and we'll just sort of go around the table, starting with you, Rowan, and I'll ask you to, somebody has to be first, right, to introduce yourself and maybe tell us, you're all in sixth grade, right?
Yeah.
And you're all 12.
Yep.
So if you have any shout-outs you would like to make, feel free to do that, and I'll just have you each introduce yourself. So we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Rowan. I don't really have any shout-outs. I'm sorry.
Who's here with you today? Who brought you here?
My mom and her boyfriend, and my dad's also here.
Terrific. Well, I'm glad. And how about you?
I'm Emma. My sister's here today, and so is my grandma and my aunt.
Excellent. What's your sister's name?
Ella. We're twins.
Emma and Ella makes sense. Did you hear us talking about twins in the last segment?
Yes.
Are you two identical twins?
No, we're fraternal.
Okay, so people don't mix you up too much.
No.
But do your parents ever say Emma when they mean Ella or Ella when they mean Emma?
Only some of the time, not very often. But
that always happened with my brothers and me, even though we're not the same age and we're nothing alike. My mom mixed our names up all the time. And?
I'm Tiana. I came here with my grandpa.
Nice to have you here. And, you know, I have to backtrack just for a moment because I'm forgetting, since you go to the Ellis School, it's likely that you live in different neighborhoods. And, Rowan, what neighborhood do you live in?
I live in Morningside.
And let's ask Emma that same question.
I live in Shaler in Glenshaw.
And Tiana?
I live in Harrison City.
And now we get to meet Parisha. And any shout-outs? And tell us where you're from.
Well, my older sister is here today, and I live in Fox Chapel.
What nice to meet you. And your older sister's name?
Quinn.
So, did you all work on this project as a team?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'd really like to let you take over. Can one of you tell me about what the challenge was and then how you worked on trying to solve the particular problem? Any of you can do that.
So the challenge was to write an opinion piece about an environmental issue. So you had to choose an article about the environmental issue that you're focusing on and say whether you agreed or disagreed, and then reasons why you agreed or disagreed.
And how did you go about choosing the issue?
Well, Rowan kind of gave us an idea of about bees, and we thought it was a good idea.
So you chose bees, and why was it a good idea to study bees?
They're going extinct, and we thought it was a prominent environmental issue, so that's why we chose that.
And how did you learn about it? So did you write one piece together, or did you each write an editorial?
We did it together, but it was like a paragraph each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so how did you set about that? Working as a team is not easy. And I don't know if you've ever done that. I mean, it's not easy. Can you talk a little bit about that process and just walk us through what you did?
So we each chose a topic like reasons why they're going extinct and like what led to that. And so we each chose a topic and we had to write a paragraph about that topic.
Yeah. And in this case, I think we worked really well together. There were like no arguments, anything. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And how did you figure out who got what paragraph? And because did you break it up into sections and you knew what people were going to write about? But how did you do that?
Well, we kind of just chose our topic. and then we all basically wrote the paragraph, and then we put them all together and then edited them so they would actually sound good together instead of...
That makes sense. You guys didn't bring it, did you?
No.
Oh, I wish we had thought to ask you to bring it. But tell us, what did you learn about bees as you did this? I'm curious. And remember, there are people listening that might not know anything that you learned or might not know as much as you did. So, you know, explain everything as much as you can. Everybody looked at Tiana. You're going to have one proud grandfather here. Everybody looked at you at the same time.
Well, we learned that they're really important to, like, what we eat. And, like, without them, there'd be a lot of things that we couldn't have.
Like what?
They pollinate a lot of the food supply for apples, oranges, onions. So they pollinate 79% of our food supply. So if they were gone, then we would have to make do with a lot of less foods.
More meat.
Yeah.
Definitely. And a lot less vegetarians.
Are any of you vegetarians?
I am.
And is it hard to be a vegetarian?
Yeah, because, like, I used to not be a vegetarian, but I've switched, like, on and off, and it's just easier being vegetarian because of my religion.
I see. Are you, I'm sure you're able to find what things you can eat at Ellis. There's usually,
yeah.
I've been to your cafeteria, it's awesome. There's usually good options there, and you need to make sure that folks can do it. I think it's hard sometimes to find stuff you can eat on the go when you're vegetarian, but if you pack, do you pack stuff?
Yeah, I usually pack lunch, because there's like vegetarian versions of of the foods that people who eat meat eat.
Yeah, like stuff with like tofu crumbles and
she'll bring in
things like
fake
that.
Fake bacon.
Yeah.
We have all that too. Although we don't follow a strict vegetarian diet, we have a lot of those things. So how come bees are dying off? What's happening? Did you learn anything about that?
So one reason is because of habitat loss. So their habitats are being destroyed by us, so they have nowhere to live, and then they die. Then also sometimes they, like, just desert their hives, and we don't know why. Might be because of lack of food sources or pesticides. So
that's really sad. Did you get a chance, or have any of you had a chance to see a working beehive?
Yeah, we've been to Triple Bee Farms before.
Tell me more about that.
I'm not really sure about it because, like, we were really young.
We went there in, like, first grade.
Yeah.
Were you scared when you found out you were going to a bee farm?
Kind of.
Yeah, because we were afraid, oh, no, they're going to sting us, but we were fine.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the environment today and what's going on just generally? We could talk about bees still, too, but just about how the environment is and sort of what its future might hold. I mean, let me ask you, that's kind of a general question. No. If you were granted a wish or two about change or something you wish would happen with respect to the environment, does anything come to mind? Something that you'd like to see happen or that you wish people would do?
Like less pollution, because that's a very big problem.
Any specific types of pollution that it especially sort of gnaw at you?
Definitely from cars. They produce a lot of pollution.
Yeah. They sure do. There's a lot of waste, too. Yeah. Any other thoughts about something you would wish people would change, a behavior, or that you wish our country would do differently?
Well, we lose a lot of energy. Like in 2013, the U.S. had the most wasted energy than any other country, so I think that we should do something about that, but I'm not exactly sure what, but...
No, but it's good, and a lot of these problems were created by people who came before you, and I think it's important that folks know the problems they've left you with and that we can work together to try to solve them. What, any other thoughts about that at all?
I kind of wish people would, like, focus on what they're doing and notice how it will affect people coming after them.
That's a really good insight, I think, Tiana. Really for everything, not just pollution, but anything you do to try to think about how it impacts another person that you're interacting with. Anything from your perspective, Prisha?
I agree with everyone here. I think that people should notice, like, what the world's doing to nature, and then they should try to help in any way they can.
Do you guys do any special recycling programs at the Ellis School or ways to try to help the environment? I don't want to put you on the spot. I know you recycle there. No, I just don't know if there's any programs.
I think in the lower school, I don't know if it's still in the lower school now, but they used to have, like, a compost bucket where during snack we'd put all of the extra food we had in a bucket, and it was, like, in each classroom, and then they'd take it somewhere.
I think I remember seeing that, too, when I've been out there.
Yeah, like, so we have a garden at Ellis, and we can use the compost for dirt in the garden.
Yeah.
Nice. What's in the garden?
All kinds of plants. There's a lot of flowers. And
mm-hmm. And there's we have a butterfly garden, and, like, I think the pre-cares, I'm not sure still, but they used to, like, grow the butterflies and then release them into the garden, and some of them would stay and some of them would leave, so...
That sounds terrific. Well, I have two more things I wanted to talk to you about. One is what it's like going to a girls' school, because Ellis is kind of neat. It's been around for 100 years as a girls' school. My mom went to a girls' school her entire, for grade school, high school, and college. It was a college that was... women only. What do you think? How is your experience different maybe than some of your friends who go to schools that have boys and girls?
Well, I think we have, like, we're all a lot closer because there's no boys, so it's just better that way.
Any other thoughts about that?
Well, I think it promotes a lot of feminist movements and stuff like that, so that's good.
It, like, helps us stand up for ourselves, like, mm-hmm. against unfeminist things.
Yeah.
It shows, like, the power of girls, and we can all work together and things like that.
Yeah.
Sure, good answers. And I know that's not an easy question, but... especially, it's Women's History Month, so it's kind of cool that you happen to be here now. But I think you get to emphasize some of those issues there more than others. The other question I was just curious about is if any of you have thought about what you might like to be when you get older, not committing you to your answer, but any thoughts about potential careers?
I want to be...
Everybody pointed at Emma.
I want to be a writer just because I really enjoy writing and English is my favorite subject. Mm-hmm. So.
She does it every chance she gets.
Yeah.
Do you keep a journal with you?
Mm-hmm.
And what about you, Rowan? Have you thought about that?
I want to do something with physics, probably focusing on quantum mechanics.
Now you're 12, and are you studying these things in school?
No.
So how are you getting your knowledge of such things?
I have a lot of physics books at home.
Yes, she brings them in, like, every day.
Not every day,
but a lot of the time.
Well, that's great that you like that. And physics is really cool. It's hard at first, I think. At least it was for me. But I liked it. What about you, Tiana?
I want to be a computer engineer.
And what would you do? Do you think?
Well, I like making I kind of like making games right now, like programming things and making robots a lot.
Wow, you guys all have so far very different aspirations. Let's find out from Parisha.
Yeah, mine's very different. Well, I really like to dance, so I guess I could be a dancer maybe.
These are all very important things. That's terrific. What kind of dance do you like to do?
Oh, right now I'm taking classes in ballet and contemporary, and then last year I did tap. So.
Where do you take classes?
Starlight Dance Academy.
That's absolutely terrific to know that, and that's a good example of how you're all thriving and getting a chance, to think about what you want to do. We're just about out of time now. Do any of you want to say something that you didn't get a chance to say?
No, I don't think so.
That's a good last question. I always like to make sure. I want to tell all of you that I hope you'll know that you're always welcome here. If you write something, Emma, that you would like to share and record to air on the radio, we would love to do that. We can talk about quantum physics on the air sometimes. I'm serious, Rowan. We could do that. Tiana, we have some projects we can put you on. If you code, do you code?
Not really yet.
Well, then we'll put you on the conceptual level of things. Now, dance on the radio is a little complicated, but we'll figure it out.
It's difficult.
congratulations on your project. Oh, who was your teacher for this?
Miss Mind.
Great. Well, thank you for being here today. Thanks to your family members for bringing you here. And I hope we'll see you again. Thanks.
Thanks.
Congratulations to a great quartet of sixth graders from the Ellis School. You can learn more about the Fairchild Challenge if you visit the website of Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens. Great to hear that particular segment, wasn't it? You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday mornings on a great group of radio stations. We found Julianne Wright out in the cold outdoors, and she's setting up right now to share original songs with you. In our next hour, we have one more feature from our youth archives. I remember this one quite clearly. You will hear some middle and high school students from this March 18th, 2017 feature. They're going to talk about their engagement in Community Kitchens Project Lunch Tray. They'll introduce themselves, and the stage will be set as you listen. Pleasure to have three students with us, and I'll let them introduce themselves to you, and then we're going to talk a little bit about their accomplishments. I'll start with you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Savannah Lewis, and I'm from Penn Hills Charter School of Entrepreneurship.
Nice to meet you. What community do you live in?
I live in Penn Hills.
And tell me a little bit about the school. It's a relatively new charter school, I think.
Actually, it's been around for a couple of years.
Couple of years now. What grade are you in?
I'm in seventh grade.
And is there anybody you'd like to give a shout out to or say hello to? Anyone who brought you here today or who might be listening?
I'd like to thank my mom for helping me with all the things she's helped me with, for being able to be here, and I'd like to thank my family and friends.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you. And then sitting on your left, we have?
My name is Josiah Sanders, and I'm from Propel McGeesport.
And where do you live?
I live in McGeesport.
Because sometimes, especially at charter schools, you have kids from other communities, too. What grade are you in?
I'm in eighth grade.
Eighth grade. And anybody you would like to say hello to or a shout-out to?
I give a shout-out to my dad because he has a busy day today, and he managed to get me at the school at the right time. A shout-out to my counselors out there who brought me here, and to my friends who might be listening.
Excellent. Now, how long have you been at Propel McGeesport?
Since fourth grade.
Did you ever do any projects with SLB Radio, like when you were much younger, with our folks where we brought microphones into schools to talk about things? Because we did do a lot of work at Propel McGeesport.
No, I don't think I've been in them.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I've always enjoyed being out at your school. There's a lot of positivity that's out there. And we have one other student with us. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Amma Germain. I go to Westinghouse.
Lots of positivity there, too. I've spent a lot of time at Westinghouse. Is there anybody you'd like to say hello to?
Yeah, my chef, Chef Fishner. I wouldn't be here without him. He really inspired me to actually like cooking now, which I didn't really like it before. Now it's really interesting to me.
Terrific. And what neighborhood do you live in?
Well, I live in Squirrel Hill, but the school's in Homewood because I actually go to Alderdice. I'm part of the CTE culinary school there.
Excellent. Well, it's a great program. And they just added, are you all part of a CTE type program? That's really a Pittsburgh public schools thing. So in the charter world, it's not probably the same initials being used. What does CTE stand for? It's a
career technological.
Career and technical education.
Yeah, exactly.
I always actually have trouble remembering that. And I love that program. I'm actually on the advisory board for the entertainment technology component of that. And I always have to remind myself what CTE stands for. So you're all here. You've all done something similar with Community Kitchen. Jalees Chart is here, too, who is with Public Allies. And do you want to sort of give a quick overview just of the program, not of what the girls have done? We'll let them talk about that.
Sure. So I'm with Community Kitchen Pittsburgh, and I'm the Education and Outreach Specialist. And what Community Kitchen Pittsburgh does is use food as the foundation to change lives and strengthen communities. And we do that a couple of different ways, but specifically through Project Lunch Tray, we release a curriculum that starts with pretty basic things like learning how to use a knife and make fruit salad, and progresses to kind of harder recipes like stir fry. And during the process, we teach about nutrition and all kinds of things, but with school food in mind, because for many kids, school food is primarily the source of nutrition for the day. It could be if they're eating breakfast and lunch, 2 out of 3 meals a day. And we are encouraging kids to advocate for why healthy school food is important, and in the process, learning how to cook. And so this culminates in a cooking competition where we partner the student teams with chefs from around the city, and chefs from all different kinds of restaurants, or in many cases the chef might already work at the school, like Chef Fishner with Westinghouse, so they already have a culinary program there. And then their team or their class is able to compete, and we have a competition at Smallman Galley, and we really just want to help kids kind of think outside of the lunchbox per se, and think about what school food could be or should be. And it's been a pleasure.
Isn't she well spoken? Full disclosure, former SLB intern, just speaking, but Jalees is her own woman too. You sound great, and it's great to have you explain this. Now, I'd like to have each of you sort of walk me through your experiences, and why don't we go in reverse order? And we'll start with Amma Germain from Pittsburgh Westinghouse. So can you tell me a little bit about how this all went?
Oh, my gosh. It was a wonderful experience. It was so fun. Honestly, I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did because, you know, we've been practicing. But when we got there, the environment was so cool. It was so friendly. Like, everybody had their job, and everybody was friendly. And it was just so fun to be cooking in that, like, that little tiny kitchen that was, like, so perfect. I enjoyed it. It was really fun.
Now, this was at the competition that you're describing. And were you two also at the competition? Let's bring you in. And can you give me any sense of what it was like on that day of the competition?
For me, it was, like, I really liked the atmosphere because it seemed like everybody was lively, and we were like a little bit early, so we saw the previous group cooking and making presenting their meals to the judges. It was like really nice to see what they have made and what the judges' responses were, and just getting ready. It was like kind of crowded, but I kind of like that because it's like nice.
That's Josiah Sanders.
Sanders.
I got it right the first time. Speaking. And then Savannah Lewis, what did you feel when you got into that area, into the Smallman Galley?
When I got there, I was a little nervous about cooking. But when I got in there, it was very nice. People weren't rude. People were very friendly.
So let's talk about it. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Let's talk about it as a group. Were you given like a specific recipe, or what were the parameters of what you had to do? What did they ask you to do?
They asked us to create a meal that could be affordable, it's presentable, and it asked, and it obviously has to taste good.
So you could pretty much have free reign to create a meal that fit all of those criteria. Is that right? Or did you have some other limitations placed on you?
It had to be at least one in every food group. So it had to be like a grains, a dairies, a fruit, a vegetable, and a protein.
Excellent. I was going to say dessert. Is it the last one dessert? But protein. So, and you work as part of a team, or are you the only person creating this meal?
No, we'd work as a team. Like, everybody would have their own specific groups because we're all from different schools, and they would work together and, like, make the foods that they decided to choose on.
So how many were on your team? Is it the same number of kids on each team? So it depends on who shows up or who's involved in the school. What's the largest team? Six? Or I'm just trying to get a sense of how many you might have.
Six.
About six. And then are there some tiny teams too? I see.
We had a team of two. It was me and another guy, and then we had our chef with us.
Wow. So you're matched with a professional chef as well. So I'm curious to hear how you approach it. Amma, what did you cook?
We cooked a Mediterranean chicken wrap with like a tahini sauce, and then we made like a quick pickle of carrots, and then we also had spiced apples on the side.
That sounds delicious. How did you come up with these recipes?
Well, in our class, we all, like, every individual got to come up with their own recipe, and then we just, like, we process of elimination, which one was cheaper, which one was healthier, and that's how we came up with this recipe.
Sounds great. How do you make tahini?
I was in charge of, like, the chicken part of it.
And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. It's
sesame seeds.
I was going to say, I thought it was sesame seeds.
Sesame seeds.
And you need to get them
grinded
into, like, a puree kind of thing. What was the chicken part, since that was your expertise?
Well, first, I had to debone the chicken, which was actually my favorite part. I just love deboning chicken. It's so weird, but I do.
Good for you.
Yeah. And then we cooked it on the stovetop first, then we put it in the oven.
That's amazing. Did you know when you were a little girl that you liked cooking? I'm curious, because I can tell you're really passionate about it now, but I was wondering if that's something you knew about yourself when you were younger.
Well, my grandma was a cook. She had restaurants, and I used to take, you know, cooking classes here and there, but I don't actually think I was interested in it until, like, I took this class, and I started cooking, like, every single day.
That's terrific. Did your grandma have restaurants around Pittsburgh?
No, in the Caribbean, in Martinique, where she's from, and in New York.
That's wonderful. Well, how did you two approach your meals? We just heard from Amma from Pittsburgh Westinghouse. Josiah, you want to tell us what you did?
So we made pork cheeks with quinoa as our grain base, and we did shredded carrots and turnips with the blood orange vinaigrette on top of it.
That sounds delicious. Did you have one particular role in your work?
Oh, I had the role of slicing the oranges because there was like a specific way, because we wanted to cut the orange so that the white parts, when you peel it, isn't on it and no seeds are in it. So I was the one to do it because I pretty much liked that one. And my other two teammates, they dealt with the vinaigrette and the pork cheeks.
Both you and Amma both liked dealing, like, with the physical part, when you were talking about deboning and of preparing the oranges and these things, you wonder, does it really matter? Of course it matters. It changes the texture and the way things actually. Look, how many people were you cooking for? Was it just the judges, or was it a much, is it like, are you cooking for maybe a dozen, or?
There was samples going around, but I would think mostly the ones that actually kind of mattered were like the judges, but listening to the people who were giving samples to opinion actually just like gave us like motivation and like, oh, we're going to be doing well right now. We could just keep going and we can get to the judges and we might be the best one.
Now, Josiah Sanders goes to Propel McKeesport. Is this a new passion for you, or did you know that you liked cooking when you were younger?
I did like cooking when I was younger because my grandmas, they cook a lot. Specifically, my one grandma that lives in New York, both of my grandmas cooked a lot. So, and I like being their like taste tester because I like food, and I grew the passion of enjoying cooking because I just like seeing people happy whenever they eat.
That's terrific. Let's now find out how Savannah approached this. Savannah Lewis is with Penn Hills Charter School of Entrepreneurship. And what did your team make?
There were 6 of us. We made a Caribbean dish. We made jerk chicken kebabs with whole grain bean rice, pineapple salsa, and cornbread. There was only 6 people there from our school. There were 2 boys, 4 girls, and I was put in charge of making the cornbread. And then the other jobs that we had, like the pineapple salsa, other people worked on that. And then the jerk chicken kebabs, which had onion, zucchini, and red and orange peppers on it. We all did that. We put it together, and then we had to stick it in the oven.
Wow, this all sounds amazing. And for the cornbread, did you have a recipe that you developed, or did you get a family recipe, or how did you figure that out?
Well, actually, what we did is we got recipes off online, and when we made it the first time, because we know we have to make it before we actually make it there to make sure it tastes right, so we made it at our kitchen at our school, and we found out that it needed something more to it. So our chef helped us with that, Chef Josh, and we added honey to it, which actually made it very sweeter and made it more delicious.
That sounds good, adding honey. A lot of people add honey to it after they're cooked, but actually putting it in the batter before you bake it. That sounds great. So each of you worked with a chef at your school, right? And is that chef also the chef that is providing school lunches, or this is a chef that's there to teach you primarily? Let's make sure we acknowledge the chefs. You mentioned, was it Chef Josh?
Yes, that was our chef that helped us.
And who was your chef?
Oh, my chef was, his name was Chef Brian.
Chef Brian, and your chef, Hama?
Chef Fishner.
Fishner, and what a great experience. Are there winners in this competition? These are the winners?
Well, so the winner of the cook-off has been decided, and it will be announced at the showcase on the 25th. And then there's also going to be a winner of the showcase. And so the cook-off is more about like the technique and the food and the plating and texture and color. And then the showcase will be more about showcasing what the kids actually learned in doing this. So they'll have to talk about school lunch and what it means to have a healthy school lunch and the components of that. And so there'll be a winning team for that. And then there's also going to be winners for affordability, nutrition, scalability, which means can the recipe actually be for a big group of children, or, you know, can it be made for 1,000 kids? And then there will be also affordability, scalability, nutrition, and there's a Kids' Choice Award, too.
Before we finish up, thanks, Jalees. Could I ask you, give you a chance to rehearse for that event? Why school lunch, breakfast, maybe even after school snacks and meals? I'll tell you, especially this week, there's been a lot of criticism nationally regarding everything from Meals on Wheels to school lunches. What would you say to somebody who might be questioning the importance and why is it important to have lunches available for kids?
I feel it's important because when you're at school, if you don't have any days off, school is 5 days a week. And if you have lunch, that's 5 meals for that whole week. And also if you include breakfast, that's 10 meals. And there's a total of 21 meals, so that's about half of the meals that you eat half of the meals that you eat are at school. So that's very important that you get what you need to be eating so that you stay healthy, you don't go home being hungry, and you don't get sick or anything.
That's a really logical way of looking at it. You know, they say you spend a third of your life sleeping, right, or a third of your life working, since you typically work 8 out of 24 hours or sleep 8 out of 24 hours. You have half of your meals at school. That's a really good way of looking at it, Savannah. What do you think?
I think that school lunches are important because some children, they need, like, the nutrients to grow up and be healthy, especially if they're, like, playing sports, because what they eat affects how they perform in all types of sports. And you just might not know somebody else's problems at home. And you would just, like, because they might not know if they're going to go home and eat or not.
Those are great observations. And you just reminded me, too, that when you eat together at school, it's a community activity to eat with other people and to be part of a community as you eat. Let's get some final thoughts from Amma to that question. What do you think? It's hard to be the last one.
I think school lunch is so important, not just in kids' lives, but also the community altogether, because kids are, like, they're the beginning of a community, and by feeding them well, they learn better. They get better educations. Because who can learn on an empty stomach, a half-full stomach? No, we need to, like, fill up students' stomach with good food so they're full and they're ready to learn, so they can make a better community for a better tomorrow. I think it all starts with the grassroots. It all starts with the students.
I see Jalise smiling from Community Kitchen from ear to ear. Congratulations to all of you, sincerely. I hope the competition goes well. My sense is that this is work from your heart, that you're probably not as – I don't think any of you would be disappointed if you didn't – devastated if you didn't win the competition, because I sense this is something you all care so deeply about doing as we time. Am I right about that? It seems that way. This is part of you. And you can get more information about Community Kitchen from its website, Jalise. Is that the best place to go?
Yeah, absolutely. CKPGH.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So you can check out lots of cool pictures of the kids on either.
Excellent. Thanks to all of you for being here today, and good luck. And please keep in touch as you do things. I'd love to hear more about your continued education and your careers. Do all of you want to work professionally in owning a restaurant, or no, not necessarily? What do you think?
I've been thinking about this, even though it's kind of early, but I was just thinking about what do I want to be when I grow up. And I've narrowed it down to, like, a couple of things, but there's just, like, a whole list I can go on forever.
That's on Josiah, yeah.
But I really want to become a doctor, but I'm not sure if I want to become a veterinarian. Do I want to become a nurse? Do I want to become a pediatric nurse, a doctor that works with children, or just something in the health science field, like a herpetologist, studies reptiles? Do I want to become a marine biologist? Is just so many options.
And you're in eighth grade now, so you've got time to figure it out, right? What about you, Savannah?
I don't necessarily want to own my own restaurant, but on the side, I like to do cooking for different things. But the main thing I want to focus on is being a lawyer and a judge, because I feel I have what it needs to be a lawyer, and I just like being a lawyer and stuff. It's very fun to me.
How come a judge?
I want to be a lawyer and a judge because at my school, when I was younger, from second to sixth grade, we have this program, sort of like micro society, where it's like out here in the river where you can start your own ventures and agencies. You can purchase things. We have shopping days. And in that position, most of the time, I was a judge and actually earned the name Judge Lewis, which was very helpful to me because that just made me want to do it even more because I like the respect I get. I like helping other people. I like giving justice to people, and it's just very exciting and fun for me.
That's great. That's Savannah Lewis, and we'll finish up with Amma. Jermaine, your career, do you have any ideas what you might like to do?
Listen, I'm a junior in high school. I think a big part of high school is not knowing what you want to do 5 minutes from now.
I think you're right.
So I don't even know what college I want to go to yet. It's all part of a plan. It'll happen eventually. And all I know is I want to do something which benefits people. So I'd love to do something in politics. You know, I'm just discovering my options.
That's a great answer. And I'm not sure if you ever stop exploring options, even through adulthood, too. Thanks to all of you. I'm really proud of you and so happy you could join us today. I know Saturdays, every day is going to be busy. Amma, Josiah, and Savannah, and Jalise, thank you.
How nice to hear that Project Lunch Tray feature from March 18th. 2017. I'm excited to present Julianne Wright to you. She's ready to go and will be here live in our next hour, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Chad Green and Ricky Berger and the aforementioned Julianne Wright. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, radiophoenix.org, and internet radio stations and streaming services, including TuneIn, Simple Radio, Radio Garden, and slbradio.org/radio.
1, 2, 3, 4. Long distance information